In a world that can be challenging, and at times unpredictable, it's hard to find moments to focus on what you need. Join Stephanie James on The Spark as she guides you to use your inner flame to ignite your best life. As a best-selling author, psychotherapist, transformational life coach, and international show host, Stephanie is dedicated to helping you create a life that takes you, your goals, and your passions to the next level, so you can live a life that is fully lit up and fully alive. She believes that your life is meant to be a beautiful expression of the things that light you up. That by living your dreams, you give permission to others to do the same. Are you ready to feel alive and inspired to fuel your dreams and put a fire behind your desires? Let's ignite a spark in one another that will illuminate the world. The Spark, with your host, Stephanie James, starts now.
Welcome to The Spark. I'm your host, Stephanie James. So happy to have you here with us and so excited about all of the upcoming things that are happening right now. The amazing Becoming Fierce Women's Retreat that's happening June 24th through 26th at Estes Park. For more information about that, go to stephaniejames.world/becomingfierce. We have some of the world's leading thought leaders, wisdom keepers, change makers coming, and it's going to be an astounding women's event, a women's retreat, only 26 participants. So get your place now at stephaniejames.world/becomingfierce. And my guest today, I'm thrilled to have Barry Coral with me. Barry is a best-selling children's recording artist, an internationally recognized kids yogi. She's got an awesome book out called Rocket Ship Yoga, an out-of-this-world kids yoga journey for breathing, relaxing, and mindfulness. Barry, so great to have you on the show. Welcome.
Really happy to be here. Thanks. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you as well. So you've had an interesting journey to become the artist that you are now. And you didn't start with this as your vision. Before we dive into the book, tell us a little bit about your background.
You know, it's funny. Your question reminds me so I started as an adult singer-songwriter in my 20s. And I went to a fortune teller once. And she told me that I was going to have two careers. And I was like, at the time, I was like really asleep. I had a lot of anxiety and whatever. And I was so uncomfortable with that. And I actually went back, like, what a crazy person you have to be that I went back the next day. And I was like, no, you have to take that back. I don't want two careers. I just want to be a singer-songwriter. Like, what do you mean? You know? And she was so like taken aback and, but thank goodness that I've had two careers. So, but in a nutshell, I started, I went to Syracuse University and I had always done like musical theater and stuff like that. But when I was out of the musical theater world and I went to Syracuse, I didn't have any way to like accompany myself and sing or whatever. And then literally like, so I was doing other things, film, TV, philosophy, whatever. And then literally a few months before I graduated, I had this roommate. The prettiest girl in school wound up living with me. I actually don't even know how that happened. I always used to be like, how did you wind up here? She wound up moving in senior year, second semester. And I would look at her and be like, how did you get here? You know, you're so pretty. And I don't know. So she was like this little magical unicorn. And she had a boyfriend at the time who played guitar. And I had picked up a guitar on a whim once. And it was like sitting under my bed. And I had no idea how to play it. And he's like, oh, well, I can show you how to play guitar. And he took it out and he showed me like a few chords and that was it. It was like the whole universe opened up and like, wait a minute, you know, like attention, this is what you like to do, right? This is what you used to do your whole life. And just because someone couldn't play piano for you, you thought, and all of a sudden I can accompany myself. Well, Stephanie, I was like a crazy person. I started singing and playing guitar all the time. People were like, who is this chick? Like, where did she come from? I was absolutely obsessed. I would play. And then I started writing my own songs almost immediately because he would like show me a Stone song, but then he would go somewhere because he had a life. And then there was like a chord or something that I couldn't remember or I couldn't. So I was so impatient. So I just started like writing my own choruses in the middle of like Stone songs because I just wanted to keep going, you know? And that's how the songwriting started. So within 6 months of picking up that guitar, I had my first gig of all original music. And I really remember my friends being like, who really? Like they were just absolutely flabbergasted. They had no idea I sang. It was just like, I was absolutely possessed. And I graduated and now, hey, with this great degree, I want to be a singer-songwriter. You know, my parents were like, what? You know, it was very, but that led me down a darker path because you took all that enthusiasm and all those dreams, right? And then I got to the city and it became a very real situation trying to make it after being doing this for a few months. But seeing the intense competition, seeing how great people were. And I was at a club seeing Sean Colvin, who I love, and it was packed and she's so spectacular. And all of a sudden it was like my mind just betrayed me and I assaulted myself with, this is never going to happen for you. This is going to be impossible. You'll never be able to do this. What a pipe dream, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I always say that I went to the best schools and I did, I had so many opportunities, you know, but nobody taught me anything about my nervous system and nobody taught me how I was revving myself up and how to stop and how to ground, you know, all these things that we talk about now, but this was 1991, you know, nobody talked about this. And I got a panic attack in the club and I had to like claw my way out. I was in the middle table. It was very uncomfortable and I just wanted it to end. And unfortunately it didn't. And I wound up with a panic disorder for about 7 years, untreated, basically undiagnosed. And the anxiety hit me so hard and so fast. I just had no recourse and I had no, and I was very frail and I was like, it wrecked everything. And for some wild reason, the only place I felt okay was on stage. I don't even have a reason for that because I get panic attacks on stage all the time now. Like I've cured everything else, but like whatever. I mean, not all the time, but plenty of times. But on stage, for some reason, I felt safe. But I was wrecked internally and I was very sick. I really was like sick and mentally. And I saw a girl leaving my gym and she just felt like she was like had light. And I asked her, I don't even know what possessed me. I'm like, who are you? What do you do? And she said, I'm a yoga teacher. And this was again in like 1995, 96. It wasn't like yoga teachers were on every little corner in New York City, you know? And I said, I'm in trouble. I need help. And she said, well, come take my class, you know? And the first class was, what is your breath doing? Mm-hmm. I mean, it was like, what is my breath doing? My breath was shallow and it was, you know what I mean? And it was all linked and it just started me kind of down this path. So, you know, the long answer to your question was, so, right. So now you're trying to pursue something with like anxiety. And now I was discovering yoga to help me with that. So I used to say that music is what I did and yoga was who I am because I ultimately got certified because I was like, why didn't anyone teach me this? This is outrageous. Why, you know, what's the point of reading Huck Finn if you can't even get out of bed in the morning, you know? So I really wanted to heal my nervous system and I got certified to teach yoga. And then of course I started to share it with others. And I was like the yoga teacher at JetBlue. I like literally call them out of the blue and I'm like, I had a panic attack on one of your flights and you guys were so nice to me. And can I be your yoga teacher? And I started with like 800 JetBlue reservations and they're like, we need to get you to corporate, you know? And I got the gig. I mean, just like magical things like that, you know, imagine trying to be JetBlue's yoga teacher right now. Anyway. So, that's what I was doing. I was playing music. I was doing yoga. I was teaching yoga. And then my niece was born and I started to write songs for her because she was just like so excited. She was like 3, 4 and she would hear one of my songs about, you know, breaking up with a drummer. And she would be like, Michaela thought, my thought. She thought it was like about her, which it wasn't. But I thought, well, she's so cute and it'd be fun. I wanted, at that point, I was on the road a lot. And I thought it'd be fun to, you know, get off the road and do some more stuff and hang around here. So I started writing songs for her and her world in like 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And then because yoga was such a big part of what I did, I sort of incorporated yoga into the music. And that's really how it happened. You know, I was like, well, there's not really like a yoga, kids yoga music star, which is, I mean, kind of preposterous. And one of the reasons why I feel like I am so successful is like, well, who else is doing this? It's like dedicating all their like time and talent and you know what I mean? To like serve, like write all these songs for kids yoga and animate them and put them on YouTube and like build this big YouTube presence. It's kind of like the idea that I'm dedicating my life to it. It's kind of remarkable, but yeah.
What an awesome and inspiring story. I feel like it is so essential that our kids get exactly like you said, these skills. And that to me, it speaks to me. I worked in the schools as a counselor for 10 years. So I get that need to try to give them, you know, we did bully proofing and we did character building skills. And I think right now to really, because we live in this world that is chaotic and unpredictable, that skill of teaching kids early on, how do you breathe? How do you get your parasympathetic nervous system on board and activated? And how fantastic. So,
I mean, just even on that, like just even that they would know that about their parasympathetic nervous system and your sympathetic nervous system, you know, and just your breath. I mean, like science is now showing us over and over and over that like 4 to 5 intentional deep breaths can be enough to bring on the relaxation response. And so to show children how to do that from an early age with like fun things, you know, like butterfly breath and, you know, starfish breath and just so many fun ways, you know, it's so much fun, you know, peaceful earth, bunny breath, you know, rocket ship breath, baby dinosaur breath. I mean, they're all like, I love this, but I work with young kids, but you're giving them the tools. And that's really ultimately what it's about, right? Like you are instilling it in them that they have something that they can carry with them. Like if that was instilled in me, Stephanie, and you go back to that moment in the, you know, at the bottom line with where everything started for me, all the anxiety, like I would have had something that I could use. And I'm not even saying that all the anxiety would go away, but it could be manageable. It could be, right? You know, the parasympathetic nervous system says, I can handle this. I got this. The sympathetic nervous system says, when it's too high, it says, I can't handle this. And that's when things really get scary for us. And I always say, you know, we're educating these children for a world. What is this? What is their world going to look like in 10 years or 20 years, right? The internet didn't even exist when I grew up. But their nervous systems are ancient. They have ancient nervous systems. And so this works. And so I can't imagine teaching them anything more important, you know? So that has really been my mission. And this has been before COVID. I've been in front of, I mean, like literally 100,000 teachers. And this was before COVID. And I was like, yoga, mindfulness, you know what I mean? And now that's why my business really exploded during COVID, because the whole, you know, universe had like a nervous breakdown, and I already had my nervous breakdown. So I was like on the other side, you know, and they were all like, wait a minute. Oh, like our kids, our parents, our communities, our teachers, like you've been, right? You're one of the people that have been out here so vocal about this, teach us. And yeah, so going back in time and starting very early.
Well, and obviously you can hear your passion for this, Barry. I mean, I love that. And I love, I mean, the impact that it's making. I mean, that's what we need, because it's changing then future generations. We have to start with the kiddos. I mean, it's great that we're learning it in our adult years, and it's a phenomenal coping skill at any age. And to already have that as a way of being in the world is so powerful when you learn it from such an early age. I'm curious for you, because I'm just imagining that the creative process is still so fun and expansive. What is that like for you right now?
Well, that's a fun question. So I developed my whole curriculum after, you know, JetBlue and after my niece. And when I started writing a lot of these songs, I got my first main gig working at Rockefeller University Child and Family Center. And I was their like kids yoga, music and movement teacher for 8 years. And I saw 180 kids a week of all different nationalities, ages 0 to 5. So I wrote like almost the whole curriculum in those 8 years. I mean, I've been writing since, but and you get feedback in real time, you know, like, oh, they love this. Oh, they want to do this all the time. You know, instead of just Downward Dog, I would write a song. The ponies are sleeping in the barn and they're sleeping in a barn in the barn in Downward Dog, you know, and it's still yoga. I mean, right. Or they're doing, legs up the wall, you know, or right angle handstand, but they're bats sleeping in a cave. I mean, it's still yoga, right? So it has all benefits. And then of course you're linking it to the breathing. So I was doing that for 8 years and I was with them and I, you know, I mean, the hits were there. Like you could just tell, you know, dragon hunt, bats, 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 bye. We do bats today. Bye, 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 bye. You know, like just, they wouldn't walk into class. They would just like bounce, run, knock over, like, Mary, can we do this today? Can we do this? You know, very, very excited. So I, even now, I'm not in the classroom. I made that shift a bunch of years ago because I was like, to get this curriculum out there, there's so much energy to teach. You know, I have to really be out there and train others to teach it. And that's what I've been doing. But when I write new songs now, which I sort of have like almost like a whole production team because we have so much happening now with content. But I think about them, you know, I'm like back, I see their faces and I don't even want to know. They're probably like 13 now. I think they are, you know, like my kids' ages, which whatever, but I go back and I see them because I didn't have my own kids. I couldn't have my own kids actually, which was sad. And I adopted two children, which is an incredible experience, but I adopted them when they were 8 or 9 and they're 13 now. So they are not my test market because I'm really 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, you know, that's sort of maybe 8. So yeah, I just see them and I just sort of know instinctually, like we wrote a new a dinosaur yoga song and it's like, we march, march, and I just thought, oh gosh, they're gonna eat this up. And that's exactly what happened, you know, like, and you're going from your instinct and you're going from what you know. And it's been a lot of fun, so.
Well, then totally, as adults, we still have that playful child side in us if we're open to it. And I could totally imagine adults getting into this too, because it's just fun and it's just play.
You don't realize that you're exercising. Yeah, totally. Like, so even like, I know we'll talk about the book, but I'm just going to throw this out there. So even developing this book was an outer space adventure. So I did this sequence all the time myself as I was writing it. So instead of just doing like child's pose and just doing snake pose and downward dog and plank, you know, I do that all the time, but I'll tell you like a secret, like sometimes yoga actually is boring for me. It's sort of like, ugh. Instead it was like, you know, I wanted to be a pilot ever since I was a child, you know, and I would gaze at the stars looking for Mars and that's your snake pose. And I would fly a big rocket and go far into orbit. And that's your plank pose. And so the next thing I knew, I was doing like 8 minutes of yoga or whatever it was with breath. And then doing like a mindfulness activity at the end. And maybe it's not ujjayi breath, which is like your big inhales and exhales a lot of time that they do it in yoga class, but you're doing rocket ship breath, you know, you're doing your mindful breathing. And I would feel amazing. And it's just like, I have had a few adults say, like, would you do this for us? But I do it for them because, you know, I work with so many teachers, especially because that's where the kids are. Like, I mean, I love working with parents, but like, honestly, like, I don't know. This is so dumb. Like, I don't know how to, parents are everywhere. You know what I mean? They're on Instagram. Like, I don't have a lot of time. Like, if you know me, awesome. But like, I'm not going to hire like 20 marketing people to go find you in your house. And, you know, the kids are all with the teacher. So it's so much kind of easier. So I am with them, you know, like they are doing it or now that YouTube has become a sensation, that's like really for the parents, especially the parents are doing it with the kids. And it's yoga. It's all the benefits of yoga. It's downward dog, you know, it's forward bending, back bending, twists, you know, that's all. I studied yoga for 16 years with everybody, you know? I mean, I've been doing it, I'm sure it's longer than 16 years. I mean, I started in 1996, you know? So I worked with some of the very best teachers, and I've done all of it, Iyengar and Hatha and Kundalini, and you know, you're taking all of that and you're putting it into a curriculum for kids with music because you're a musician, you know what I mean? And it has to be fun. The music has to be really good, Stephanie. Like, if that was my number one rule, if you're in the car with your kids, you cannot be rolling your eyes. You know, you have to really enjoy it. And as an adult musician, I was trying to narrow the gap between me and like Carole King, you know, that was the goal. So that music, it always has a high benchmark for me. And then you kind of fit the yoga in. So it's really interesting. You have like a lot of things that you're trying to do, you know, like you have to make it fun and the music has to be really good and the pacing has to be good. It has to be, you know, so it's very creative, but for some reason, I don't even understand, like I could do this Yoga Palooza universe and I created it. I truly like, I don't even know, you know, I'm figuring it out. Like I'm 53, you know, it didn't happen overnight. It took a long, I'll just say one more thing and I'll shut up. I think that ultimately you are the production, you are the result of your experience, right? Like all the different experiences that you've had and all the different interests and all the different combinations, that's what makes you, you, you know, you're going to be into something different than I'm into, you know. I like yoga and Sheryl Crow and kids, you know what I mean? And it's like, that's where that's all gonna like put together.
Well, and I love that. I mean, and I love Carole King. So when you're saying that, I'm like, I'm gonna start listening to your music. and I have grandsons, you know, I have.
Look at you. You look like you're 25 years old.
I love you. I am almost the same age as you. I'm 54. So,
wow.
Yeah. So I have 8 and 9 year old grandsons. Absolutely. Wow. Would love to do this with them. I mean, this is just like so right on. And like you too, I have to tell you, I really resonate with you. I always say life begins at 50 because that's when things started, you know, really just blossoming and just like the best time of my life. And I guess one of the things that I was thinking about is this whole thing of when we go through these challenging times, like when you were sharing, you had these 7 years of panic attacks and anxiety, and then that became like your greatest gift. I think that's such an important message that we go through these challenging times and they really can be the match point that ignites something within us that then becomes our gift to the world. And that's really what I'm hearing with you.
Yeah, I remember an Anusara, I think it was John Friend who taught Anusara. He said, like, the best teachers have suffered the most. And I'm a really good teacher, you know? And, you know, and also I've realized that when you do something more with anxiety, like, for example, I've been on stage, honestly, like thousands of people. And I've looked around and I've said, wow, do you have any idea how much money I'm making off anxiety right now? You know, like, this is like one of the best things that you can do with anxiety. You can make money off of it. You could help others, you know, like the key to happiness is serving others, right? You go through something yourself, you get out on the other side, you've struggled, you know, and it's also how I've, because I've been in front of so many people, like, yeah, we do the concerts and we do all of that, like for kids and parents, and that's all super fun. And I'm not really talking to them. You're just, you know, like a rock musician for kids doing yoga, like with a band. But then I do a lot of trainings. And because honestly, you know, the suffering, like you sort of break down those barriers like really quickly. And everyone sort of gets a little bit more like open and vulnerable. And then you can like really go for it. And so I've seen all kinds of, you know, people, especially teachers, you know, all different nationalities, all different experiences. And when you say like, I've suffered, like everybody raises their hand, you know, I've suffered too. And I want to teach you what nobody taught me and what nobody taught you. And this needs to be taught. Yes, we need to teach it to the kids, but we need to teach it to the adults. So, yeah, it's one of the best things you can do with it. It is like, and when you're in it, there's nothing good about it. I mean, you can never see, you know, I mean, it was very serious for me. I mean, it was a serious, serious situation. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. And I'm really hearing that essential piece of when we acknowledge that and quit trying to make things a secret. And, you know, I always talk about, you know, with my own clients, like how our secrets make us sick. And to me, that's really what I'm hearing, you know, that you're going into these situations and really going like, hey, who here has suffered? Everyone. Like, we don't need to keep this a secret. Like, I don't care how successful you are, or how amazing you are. Everybody goes through pain. Everybody suffers. And when we can get that, it's this universal experience. We can also move to the other universal experiences of bliss and joy and love. And it's okay for us to acknowledge that, yeah, there's tears and pain and anxiety. And that when we have that whole package and we allow ourselves to be whole people, what a gift. I mean, what a gift to everyone.
Yeah, totally. And then, you know, as a musician, I put that into a song like All the Colors of Me. You know, some days I feel red, you know, angry, and, you know, some days I'm blue and angry and sad, and some days I'm yellow like the sun, and some days I'm green, you know, peace like the trees, like all the colors of me. And I do feel that there's a major movement now for bringing this into the light. I remember, like, Prince Harry, I mean, gosh, I could have, you know, run all over this kind of a thing, but if Prince Harry had called me, but that's okay. Yeah, I haven't met him yet. But, you know, where he's trying to like bring this out and talk about mental health and talk about mental wellness and talk about needing therapy and all of that. But I remember reading an article about Michael Phelps when he had anxiety. He talked about that. And, you know, when I grew up, I used to think like presidents never had anxiety, and how could they get up in front of the State of the Union? They were different from me, right? They couldn't, they didn't get nervous. Olympians didn't get nervous. So that's part of the, unfortunately, you know, it makes us feel worse because it's like, well, there's something wrong with me, right? I'm different from them. So when those kinds of things, started to come out, you know, I'm sure if someone asked Barack Obama if he was, you know, when he was nervous, I'm sure there would be a few times, you know, obviously what, the success is that they're able to manage it, right? Like you can use that, but just going back to that. So the, when it's like hidden, it is. So I read that article in about Michael Phelps, but what actually struck me even deeper was that they did some studies and they thought that, predicted that by the time our kids grew up, 51% of young girls were going to have some kind of anxiety disorder. 51%. And that all these numbers and all these studies, now it's like 1 in 4 or 51% or 1 in 6, you know what I mean? They're all out there. But the point is that it's rising and rising and rising, you know, and I'm seeing it now. My kids are adolescents. My kids are teenagers. Everyone's struggling. The parent, you just see it. It's a total epidemic. So it's like, well, how could we not talk about this? This is ridiculous. It's everywhere. It's everywhere, you know? So, I tell my friend, my kids, like, hey, I had therapy today and I learned something really good about myself. And this, you know, like I'm out and proud. Like the fact that people might not want to tell you they're in therapy, like, why not, honey? That's a great decision, you know? So all of that, I feel like all of us as thought leaders, you know, this is a very interesting generation. It's an interesting time that we're all in. And I am one of the people out there pushing it. And I mean, I'm in front of thousands of people at a time and I am just like, let's go, you know? And also to your point, being 50 is fun because you are less afraid. You're like, let's get her done here. You know what I mean? Like we have work to do and there's an epidemic and people need help. It's like, what's the point of playing small? That's not going to help anybody, you know? I have something that could maybe change your life, but like, I don't know if you have time. It's like, no, listen.
Love that. Yeah. So, well, let's talk about the book.
Oh yeah.
The book. New book, The Rocket Ship Yoga. Yeah. So talk about this book, inspiration for this book. And yeah, if you want to give us some, I don't even know. I mean, is it a book that you can read? Is it a book you want to give us a little excerpt from?
So sure. So we can just like, this is what I mean. So you're doing yoga, but I wanted to be a pilot ever since I was a child. And you're encouraged to take a few breaths here. So you can go fast, you can go slow. And now you're in snake pose. I would gaze at the stars looking for Mars. courage to take a few breaths here, right? You're doing yoga. I could fly a big rocket, go far into orbit. And, you know, if you know yoga, you're just going through it. But if you don't, you know, it'll tell you how to do that pose. Blast into space and see what awaits. Okay, taking our time. I'll just do a few more pages. Yeah. I land with a boom and walk on the moon. And now we're jumpy door hands, right? Like Samurai Namaskare or whatever. Yeah. I jump through the air to feel gravity there. So you're taking a few jumps and you're using your hands and your core. As my feet touch the ground, I explore what's around. So you're breaking down, you know, sun salutation is the cornerstone of yoga. And we do that all the time as adults. But like, that's kind of boring for a three-year-old, you know, but not like this, right? And then, of course, yoga prepares us to relax. And so we do a little, you know, shavasana, we do our resting pose. But then so beautifully, we do like the listening game, where we just sit and listen to what's around us, which is a beautiful mindfulness activity. And again, you know, in a kid-friendly way, like you could play the listening game and just listen, but like you can listen from outer space. And your body, your journey prepared you for this because you're doing yoga. So it's wonderful for the adult who's doing it. It's wonderful for the child. And then there was a glossary in the back to teach people more about these yoga poses if they would like them, because I wanted it to be, a lot of us just know yoga and we just, you know, blast through it, but maybe you don't, you know, not, you don't want to take that for granted, you know, so you have the option. So that's been really beautiful. And I always wanted to write a book. They found me during COVID too, which was a really nice thing. You know, the publisher came to me. YouTube is like 500,000 subscribers now. And so all my songs are animated and they're all out there. And we keep adding so much to YouTube. So there was so much content and there were so many ideas of where to go with the book. And ultimately, I mean, my hope is that it sells well enough that I could have a series, you know, because then we could do unicorn yoga and we could do, I mean, there's a lot there. So, I'm excited and I've never, it's my first book. And the other thing is, it's interesting because the book sort of takes you to new places, right? Like you're a musician. And so there's that world. And then even YouTube is like that world as a content, you know, creator, but like the book is now you're doing interviews, right? Or, you know, I get to speak to you. I was just on Fox and Friends. Like it's taking you to sort of like new places and you get to talk a little bit about the benefits of yoga and mindfulness. You know, when I do concerts, you know, no, we're moving, you know? So you know, maybe even in a 90-second soundbite, but I could give you some benefits in 90 seconds and give you something that you can start doing right away with your kids. So yeah, that's the book.
Well, so exciting. I love, and it's beautifully illustrated. I love the pictures.
It's based on the YouTube channel. So the same designers that did the YouTube, you know, channel did this. Thank you very much. They're very special. So they're in India. We had to halt production because they all got COVID. It was very scary, right? There was some very scary times, especially before the vaccine, but they pulled through. And you know, it was an extraordinary time putting this together during that time, but it's been in the works for a while, but now, yeah. So here it is coming out into the world.
This is great. This is so great. When's the release date?
So the release date is May 9th. And, but right now I have like the whole pre-order thing, which is happening, which is really exciting. And, you know, it's nice too, as a musician, like you don't need a CD player. You don't need an MP3. You don't need a video. You know what I mean? You just have a book. And here I am. Everything I do and everything that you're going to do with your kids is here. And that's exciting to just frankly have like an analog, something in your hand, like all my years of creativity and experience, like just to hold it like that that's a pretty exciting moment for me.
Well, congratulations. I'm super excited for you. I'm so excited for people to get this book. And where can they get it, Barry? Where can they get the book?
Oh, they can get it anywhere books are sold. Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. So what's ahead for you? What, I guess I'm curious just for you, what's inspiring you right now? What's ahead? Because I know creative people, it's the next thing, you know, it's like loving what is, and yet I'm curious for you, what's coming through?
Well, thank you for that. I do have a kind of a new creative team that's sort of coming together, and I'm really loving the content side of things. And so, you know, we just wrote a new transportation song for yoga called Up. It's really fun. They're on a hot air balloon. They're flying, you know, they're flying an airplane. They're driving the bus. They're, you know, they're doing a sailboat. They're floating on a cloud. You know, I mean, I just could do this all day. So I love all that. And I made some big decisions, and I'm pretty proud of myself. You know, they talk about like working in your genius zone, right? So you want to do the things that you like to do, the creative stuff. There were times where I felt like I was too low in my business, I suppose, like trying to reach that parent who might be in Minnesota, and that's all that like marketing and stuff. And I was like, no, that's not what I want to be doing. And so I'm thankful that I sort of realized that, and I got what I needed, the support there, so I can kind of enjoy the creative altitude up there. And you know, it seems obvious, but it took a minute. So just a lot of creativity and attracting the ways that the whole sort of like Yoga Palooza universe kind of works together now, with like schools and YouTube and the book and the music and the concerts, and sort of building that whole kind of connection is really exciting. So,
and can people come to your concerts? Do you have concerts that are going to be?
I do. Summer? Yes. Yeah. We have a show. The next show is like in Michigan, and then we have a show in Kansas City, and we have a show in Lake Placid. So, you know, we have a few of those shows. I don't want to say they're big productions, but you know, it's like, I can't be on the road doing that all the time. I would never be able to do all these other things that I do. And so, you know, you basically fly out, you do, like, we just played in Vegas. Like, that was amazing. And you fly out, you do your show, and you come back. But yeah, I love doing the shows. Oh my gosh, just a mosh pit for Muppets, you know, and like kids all doing the yoga. And now more and more parents are doing the yoga at the shows. Like, that's really been the evolution. They used to sort of watch the kids, and it's very basic, you know, and they're moving and they're in and out of the poses, and you know, it's very accessible. But now more and more adults are like getting in there, and people are starting to bring yoga mats to the shows, and you're like, wow, you know, it is really, and it's a great band. I mean, you don't need to do yoga. You could just go, and just dance and just enjoy or just listen. But yeah, it's sort of been evolving. It's been really fun.
Well, and what kid doesn't want their parent to do an activity with them? You know, kids are always like, play with me, do this with me. And parents are resistant. And how cool that this is something that parents do with their kids and really connect with them in this way.
I mean, I will say it's mostly about the kids. You know, the kids are kind of doing their thing, and they're in it. They're not really looking at their parents too much. You know, they're looking at what's happening on stage, and we have this like incredible person with us who's like leading everyone, and the kids are just like off and running. But I just notice that the parents are participating more and more, you know, whether it's behind the kids or whatever. And sometimes like with their kids, a few parents have been, you know, have had to go to the back, like, mommy, no, you know, and so they have to be in the back as the kid wants to like be doing their thing. And you know what I mean? So all the above, but yeah, it's just, yeah. I think it's, I guess more to the point, just how accessible and popular yoga has become since I kind of started this concept. You know, I feel like the world is sort of catching up to the things that I've had in place for a while. So it's been really fun.
Yeah. So fantastic. So Barry, where can people contact you, or where can they get more information?
Just go to the website, barrycorrell.com, go to YouTube, Barry Correll on YouTube. Those would be probably the best places. And then just, you know, the book anywhere, Rocket Ship Yoga. So cute, right?
Yay. Well, I love it. And for those people that are listening, just so they know, it's BARIKORAL.
Yes.
So yeah, I want to make sure that they get that. And Barry, before we wrap up here, what is the essential message that you'd like to leave with the audience?
I would say that it feels better to feel better. And it's just worth a little bit of time on this stuff, you know, and I just can't imagine really your time could be better spent, truthfully, than just like your own spirit and your child's spirit and just, you know, being peaceful and enjoying. And we're all working on it, you know, but then we just keep sort of discovering new layers to it. You know, I'm a professional and I'm still working on self-care. You know, it's like, right, we're still kind of there. It's such a deep, rich place to draw from. And, but yeah, we deserve to feel good. And we could do this with our kids. We can feel better with our children. So yeah.
That's an important message. Mary, thank you so much for being here. Just fun. Love your energy and love this new book and what you're creating in the world. It's so exciting. Thank you so much for sharing your light.
I really appreciate it. Thank you very much for having me. It was nice to meet you.
You as well. And thank all of you listeners. Definitely tune in June. We have my first film coming out, When Sparks Ignite, on the More You channel on the Plex Network. So be looking for that. Go to stephaniejames.world and you can see the trailer now. So what a wonderful show. Again, Barry, thank you. Look forward to connecting again in the future.